Since the beginning of the year, we have been studying great chapters in the Bible. We studied Acts chapter 8, we studied 1 Corinthians 15, we studied Psalms 23, we studied Isaiah 53. Today I want to study Psalms 119. 1 Corinthians 15 has 58 verses. It took me 5 weeks to preach through 1 Corinthians 15. Psalms 119 has 176 verses. But what I decided to do instead of just covering every verse was just pick out several of the verses that I liked and talk about them. So we're just going to spend 1 week on Psalms 119. And I want to give you reasons why you should study the Bible. Reasons why you should study the Bible. And we're going to get those from the Bible, from Psalms 119. Psalms 119, the subject of it is the Bible. It's God's Word. It uses different words to describe it, but it's the Bible. And so, of 176 verses, 165 of those verses mentions the Bible specifically. Different terms, but it's talking about the Word of God. So I wanted to use it in why you should study the Bible. I believe every Christian should be a Bible student. I realize that some of us are more studious than others. Some of us enjoy studying more. Some of us are gifted differently. All of us are gifted differently. And so some people will study more than others. But every Christian should study the Bible some. Every Christian should study the Bible some. And I'm going to give you, in this sermon, I'm going to give you reasons directly from the Bible why you should study it, why you should spend time every week. I have a temptation to say every day, but the fact is my plan is to study the Bible 5 days a week. And that just works better for me because when I used to do it 7 days a week, had me a schedule, I'm going to read this much and all that, and I'd miss a day or two and get behind, and that would get me discouraged. So I did it 5 days a week, and I got 2 days to make up. And so, but Bible study should be a regular part of your life. And I want to give you reasons why directly from the Bible. Psalms 119:9 says, "How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word." If I want to live a pure life, then I need to obey God's word. And the only way I can obey God's word is to know God's word. I can't obey it if I don't know it. And so if I want to have a pure life, I need to study the word of God. And again, I don't need to be a scholar. I don't need to know all the Hebrew and the Greek and all that kind of stuff. But I do need to know certain things. I need to study the Bible. I need to spend some time with the word of God. Every relationship depends on communication. Communication is a key into any relationship you have. And communication with God is through the Bible and prayer. So studying the Bible is an important part of knowing God. So I need to study it because it will keep me pure. If I obey it. How can a young man keep his way pure? You tell me. By keeping it according to your word. Psalm 119:11 says, "Your word I have treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against you." Your word I have treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against you. G. Campbell Morgan says, "That's the best thing in the best place for the best reason." The best thing in the best place for the best reason. Your word in my heart, that I may not sin against you. I think that implies memorizing parts of it. I think you ought to memorize part of it. But the fact is, you need to know it. You need to know it so you can face sin when you face it. You can deal with sin when you face it. If I don't know the answer and I face problems and difficulties and I don't know God's answer, then I have a temptation to do the wrong thing. I have a temptation to sin. Your word I have treasured in my heart that I may not sin against you. Psalm 119:72 says, The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces. The Word of God is more valuable than money. The Word of God is more valuable than lots of money. You say, "Well, Lee, it doesn't seem like to me it's that valuable." I mean, just I can find, I got three or four Bibles at home. It doesn't seem to me that'd be that valuable. If I wanted to buy one, I can go ahead and buy one for $15, $20. So I don't see why it's that valuable. You ever heard those news stories where somebody went to a yard sale and picked up something for $3 and sold it for $50,000? You heard some of those stories? What happened to the person who was having a yard sale? Why did he sell it for $3? He didn't know how valuable it was. And now many people who have the Word of God laying on their coffee table in their house, and they have no idea how valuable it is. No idea. And so we need to understand that it is valuable. This is the very Word of God, the God who created the world, the God who saved us from our sins, the God who's going to control all of eternity. This is His instruction manual, and I have it. There are a lot of people in the world that don't have it. I have it. And I have different translations where I can understand it. I've got them everywhere I look. I mean, they're all over my house, everywhere, in my office. I got seven or eight translations lined up on one shelf in my office. So you need to realize how valuable it is. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces. If I had thousands of 1 ounce silver pieces, that'd be a pretty good amount of money, wouldn't it? How about thousands of 1 ounce gold pieces? How about if I really believed that verse was true? How about if I really believe that God's word was more valuable than money? What difference would it make in my life? If I truly believe that it was valuable. Psalms 119:97. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. And I realize when I put a reason why you should study the Bible is because you love it. I realize that's probably not true for some of you. But I think loving the Bible is an acquired taste. I believe it is an acquired taste. When you first start out studying the Bible, it seems like, man, it's a lot of trouble and it's difficult and I don't understand and all that. And it takes a while to acquire the taste for Scripture. You ever had the doctors tell you your potassium is low, you need to eat a lot of bananas? You say, I don't like bananas. But you start eating them for health reasons, and you acquired a taste. You got where you liked them. It's a terrible illustration, but my dad smoked 4 packs of cigarettes a day, and I took one draw off of a cigarette. I hated it. And I'm convinced that everybody who's ever started smoking hated it. I think you had to acquire the taste. And if I can acquire the taste for cigarettes, surely I can acquire the taste for the Word of God. I got to work at it, right? And once I acquire the taste, then I love it. Boy, it's just amazing that I can go and find God's solution to my problems. I can find God's solution. The God of the universe has given me solutions to problems, and I've got it. Take a little digging to get there, but I've got it. So you learn to love it. Psalms 119:98, your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever mine. Helps you outsmart your enemies, okay? You know, even if you start from a bad place, you want to do that, don't you? You want to outsmart your enemies. And then when you get spiritually mature, who is your major enemy? Satan. And you want to outsmart him, right? You know his strategies. You can find his strategies and his schemes in the Scriptures, in the Bible. So you ought to study them so you can outsmart him. And he's a very smart fellow, so you need to deal with him. Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever mine. Every time I see that verse, every time, and it's one of the verses I memorize, but sometimes I get them tangled up because I memorize several verses in a row, and I'll get 97 mixed up with 99 and 98 mixed up with 99. Eight and all that kind of stuff, which one is which. But anyway, every time I read that verse, I think about what is ever mine. The two things mentioned in the first sentence, God's commandments and my enemies. Then he says, they are ever mine. Which one is ever mine? Both of them. Okay. Yeah, I think he means his commandments are ever mine. It's a part of my life. It's a part of my life. So I can deal with my enemies. Psalm 119:99, I have more insight than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I said, it will make you smarter than your teachers. It will make you smarter than your teachers. I've never thought of myself as being very intelligent. I just never thought of myself as being very smart. But I do like to study, and I like education. I believe in education. I believe people will occasionally say, well, I've figured out that people who get a higher education don't make a lot more money than people who don't. Well, I found out that's not true. But even if it's not the case, education is valuable by itself. Whether it caused me to make more money or not, just education by itself. So I have a very high opinion of education. But I'd rather meet a fella that knows the Bible without a higher education than a fella who has a higher education and doesn't know the Bible. Do you hear what I just said? The fella who knows the Bible is better off than the person who has all them degrees but doesn't know the Bible. Now, what's best of all? Both. Right. To have the higher education and know all that stuff. I'm going to probably mention it again later, but education, you need a good general education. You need to know a little bit about everything. You need to know a little bit about everything, and you need to know a lot about one or two things. You need to know a little bit about everything and a lot about one or two things. And to me, the one or two things you need to know a lot about is the Bible. Okay? That's one of the few things I need to know a lot about. And I think every Christian ought to know a lot about it. Psalm 119:100, I understand more than the aged because I've observed your precepts. Age gives us experience. And it's hard to beat experience. I know we live in America, and America, people don't respect age like they do in some of the other countries, Japan and China and all those places that respect aged people, because experience teaches you a lot of stuff. And this verse, I think, says that you can even know more than those people who have experienced life if you know the Word of God. I understand more than the aged because I have observed your precepts. So knowing the Word of God is better than education. Knowing the Word of God is better than experience. And again, it's better if we have both. You know, 101, I have restrained my feet from every evil way that I may keep your word. It will keep you from evil. It will keep you from evil. Be sure your sins will find you out. You ever heard that one? Evil always leads to trouble. It may not lead to it immediately, but it always leads to trouble. That's what scares me. Because I know it always leads to trouble, and sometimes I do things I shouldn't be doing. I have restrained my feet from every evil way that I may keep your word. Sometimes I don't understand why God says I should do these things or shouldn't do those things, but I need to do them anyway. Just obey him. Verse 102, I have not turned aside from your ordinances, for you yourself have taught me. For you yourself have taught me. Who's the you? God. How did God teach me? Through his word. God decided to communicate with us through words. He could have decided to use pictures if he wanted to. He decided to do it through words. He could have done it, just put it in your mind automatically, just had it there. Couldn't he? If he'd wanted to? No, he decided to communicate us through his words. And when I study, I'm going to mention in a few minutes, how you study, the first thing you do is pray and ask God to help you. and you ask God the Holy Spirit to help you, and you're studying His Word. So He taught you. He taught you. I am not turned aside from your ordinances, for you yourself have taught me. 103. How sweet are your words to my taste? Yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. It is enjoyable. It is enjoyable to know God's answers to life's problems. To know what God wants me to do because He's told me in His Word. What a joy it is to know God's answers. Instead of flapping around all ways out there trying to know what should I do here and what should I do there, God has told me what I need to do. 104, from your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. From your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. It will give you understanding. It is true, when you know the truth, you hate lies. When you know the truth, you hate lies. And the more you love the truth, the more you hate the lies. I mean, we can live our lives based on truth, on reality, what real life is. From your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Psalm 119:105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. My little gizmo here that I love so much and use it more and more all the time has a flashlight on it. Not a very powerful flashlight, but it has a flashlight. It's the same thing it uses to flash when it takes a picture. I can just cut it on and it'll be a flashlight. But if I were to turn it on in here, you couldn't hardly tell it was on. When do I need it? When it's dark. When Zeke loses something under the chest of drawers and had to try to find it, I need the light because it's dark under there. And amazingly, I can cut the light on and see and get me a stick and bring it out because I can see it. So light is very, very important in darkness. Figuratively speaking, how's our world right now? It's pretty dark. It's pretty dark. And I need the light of God's Word. I need the light of God's Word to deal with the darkness of the world in which I live. So they were the reasons why we should study the Bible. First step in studying the Bible. First step, pray and ask God to help you. Pray and ask God to help you. God, I want to be able to study this and learn it. Help me. Help me. Just help me. The ways to study is you can hear it, you can read it, you can study it, you can memorize it, and you can meditate on it. So the ways you study is to hear it, and read it, to study it, to memorize and meditate. Let me share with you. The meditation goes with all of them. If you hear a sermon, when I preach, what you ought to do is to go home and think about it. That means you meditate on it. You think about it. Just give some serious thought to it. Give some serious thought to what's going on. So I hear it. How about when I read it? One of my problems when I read the Bible, is that I have a tendency to say, I want to read three chapters today, so I'm going to just go through them. Get through three. You ever do that? Don't even think about what I'm reading. Oh, I read all the words. Well, at least all of them when they're not genealogy or something. I may skip a few. I may skip a few in that, but you're just kind of... But normally when I read all the words. But what I need to do is to meditate on what I read. So that's hearing, that's reading. But I need to meditate on it. The thumb is a meditation. So I need to meditate. I need to study sometimes. And studying is different than reading. Studying is me trying to figure out, me trying to go deeper, dig deeper to what it means. But even there, I need to meditate on it. I need to think about it. Just let it roll around a little bit in my mind. I need to memorize it, but not just memorize it for the sake of knowing it. I need to meditate on what does this can mean in my life. And meditation. I don't know how to say this. New Age meditation is wrong. Bible meditation is right. So don't get caught up in somebody saying you need to meditate. The New Age people saying you need to meditate and clear your mind and have nothing. Just think about nothing. Reach a nothingness in your thought process. That meditation is wrong. But the Bible teaches you ought to meditate on Scripture. You ought to meditate on Scripture, which means I ask questions about it. I ask, what does this mean? How does this help me? What are the problems here? What can I do about this? What difference does this make in my life? How will this help somebody else? I need to think about it and roll it around up there a few times. So I need to meditate on Scripture. Hear, read, study, memorize, and meditate. For each passage, you ask, what does it say, what does it mean, and what does it mean to me? What does it say, what does it mean, what does it mean to me? Each passage. What does it say, what does it mean, what does it mean to me? The first way you start is, what does it say? Jesus said, I am the way. I understand in the original Greek, Jesus said, I am the road. That's what it said. What does it mean? It means he's the way. He's the way to heaven. What does it mean to me? And I take it and apply it to my life. So what does it say? What does it mean? What does it mean to me? Another way of saying that is observation, interpretation, and application. Observation, interpretation, and application. For each passage, ask the reporters questions. If you were to read the newspaper, usually in the first paragraph or two, they will answer all the reporter questions. Who, what, where, when, why, how, and so what. If you are a reporter, that's the questions you ask. What, who, where, when, how, so what. The thing that happened in Boston, who did it happen to? Who? The people in the crowd, right? Who did it? Them two brothers. Who else was involved? I don't know. But I need to find out, don't we? Need to find out if there was somebody else involved. When did they do it? When the crowd was all together. Where did they do it? In Boston, right there amongst the people. How did they do it? I understood they used a pressure cooker. Why did they do it? And so what? And the so what in that case, but I need to find out if there's a big movement, and there are a lot of people trying to do the same thing. I need to know that, right? Or if they just came up with the idea on their own, just wanted to get a name for themselves or whatever, the so what's important. When you study the Bible, the so what's important. You don't get to the so what before you go through the others, though. So what? What are the commands? Now, what are the promises? What are the facts to be believed? What are the commands to be obeyed? What are the promises to be enjoyed? What are the warnings to be heeded? What are the examples to be followed? What are the principles to be applied? So I need to get there and say, well, okay, I've studied this passage. What does that mean in my life? So what? And I want to tell you, occasionally you run across a passage and you say, well, I don't know, so what? I mean, the Old Testament says several times, do not boil a lamb in its mother's milk or something like that. I don't forgot the terminology, something like that. And I ask, so what? So what? I don't know. But when the Bible says, do not lie, I know so what then, right? What is so what then? Don't lie. When the Bible says, I need to believe in Jesus in order to be saved, so what then? What's the so what? I need to believe in Jesus. So I need to ask those reporters questions. The next slide says, you need to read repeatedly, write notes, and review often. You need to read repeatedly. One of the things that you ought to do in studying the Bible is to read a short passage of Scripture every day for 30 days. Read a short passage of Scripture every day for 30 days. And if you go, if my experience counts for anything, my experience is if I do that, the first two or three times I read it is okay. The next four or five times I read it, I get bored stiff. I done read this. I don't need to read it no more. I done read it. Already. Then about the 15th, 20th time I read it, things begin to jump off the page. They were there all along. I just didn't see them before. They just jump right off the page and bite me. You know? They just, man, look at this. This is what this says. And all I did was just read it every day for 30 days. Now, don't take a long passage. Take a short passage. Read the same passage for 30 days. Then you need to write down something you learned. What did God tell me about this passage? What am I learning about this passage? Write it down. Thoughts disentangle themselves when it passed through the lips or the fingertips. Thoughts disentangle themselves when they pass through the lips or the fingertips. In other words, to write it down helps me to understand it. If I'm reading a passage of Scripture, and I say, well, I got it. I know what it means. And then somebody says, well, write down what it means. Write it on a piece of paper. Well, I'm not sure what to write. Then you don't understand it. Write notes, and then review your notes often. To start, you need to have a general overview of the Bible. You need to know there's an Old Testament and New Testament. The Old Testament written primarily for Jews before Jesus. The New Testament written primarily for you. Very simple statement, but the fact is, if you get hung up in studying the Old Testament and think it applies to you, then you're going to go to Jerusalem about three times a year to sacrifice a lamb. Yeah? And the Old Testament has a lot of great principles. It is God's Word. It is inspired by God. It meant what it said and said what it meant. But let me just give you a silly illustration. God said, build an ark. Right? That's God's word. He said it. But who did he say it to? Noah. So I need to learn that lesson. I need to study that and learn what I can learn from that story. But I don't need to build an ark. But you say, God said build an ark. It was God's word, right? But I don't need to do it. Why don't I need to do it? It was not intended for me. It was intended for Noah. Well, that's kind of a silly illustration, but there are a lot of things in the Bible that somebody ought to do something and is not for us to do. Not intended for us in the Christian age to sacrifice a lamb. God intended for the Old Testament Jews to sacrifice a lamb. Not intended for us. So I need to understand the basic distinction in the Old Testament and New Testament. Master a few key passages. Let me tell you a story. My home preacher had a great influence in my life. Probably would not be a Christian today if it was not for him. Probably would not be in the ministry if it was not from him, from a human point of view. He performed the wedding ceremony for Linda and I. I looked up to him, admired him. In our church was about 200 people. He taught the adult Sunday school class, which is about 70 people. And when I was 20 or 21 years old, I can't remember exactly, but pretty young. He invited me to teach every other week in his class. He was teaching the adult Sunday school class, the older people, the more mature people, the spiritually mature people in the church. I was 20 or 21 years old, and he asked me to teach every other week. We were teaching from the International Sunday School lesson, I had sense enough to know that almost everybody in there knew more Bible than I did. Almost everybody in the class knew more about the Bible than I did. Here's what I decided when I was 20 or 21 years old. I was going to teach that class. And what I decided was, they may know more Bible than I know, but this passage we're dealing with today, nobody in here is going to know more than I know. Nobody. I'm going to know everything there is to know about this passage. Now, I have learned since then that was not true. But anyway, that was my goal. That was my intention. I'm going to master this passage of Scripture. And usually the international lesson have 10 or 12, 15 verses. Goes through the entire Bible, not every verse, but over the whole Bible in about 7 or 8 years. So what happens if I master each point, each Scripture each week? You see, I can't learn it all, but I can learn a lot about this one passage. And that's the way you study the Bible. Just study the passage you're dealing with. Don't worry about the fact, well, Lee knows more better than I do, or Chuck knows more better than I do, or somebody else knows more than I do. They've studied it. That's all right. For this passage I'm dealing with, I'm going to know this passage. I learned this passage. So just start with a few passages. On Wednesday night, we're trying to write that Bible course for people. I first started the Bible correspondence course, and then somebody reminded me, correspondence means they're going to send it back and forth. I don't want that to happen. So it's not going to be a Bible correspondence course, but it's going to be a Bible study course. And these are going to be the first three lessons. John 1, 1 through 18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him that has been come into being. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. verse 12 of that passage says, He came to His own, but those of His own did not receive Him. But as many as received Him, that's verse 12, but as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God. Verse 14 says, And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Verse 18 says, No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, He has explained Him. Now that's a powerful 18 verses. What happens if I say, I'm going to know those 18 verses? I'm going to learn them. I may not know a lot of other stuff about the Bible, but I'm going to know these 18 verses. Then John chapter 3. You know what happened in John chapter 3? What's my title for John chapter 3? Nick at night. Right? That's when Nicodemus came to see him. Nick at night. Nicodemus came by night. And in the passage in John 3:3, Jesus said, you must, to see the kingdom of God, you must be born again. In verse 5, He says, to enter the kingdom of God, you must be born again. John 3:16 says, For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Boy, 18 more verses. What if I learn those verses and know that, and I've written notes about that, and I can put it in my notebook, and I've studied it, and I know what it says? Matthew 16 has to do with who Jesus is. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, He began asking His disciples, Who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they said, Some say John the Baptist, and others Elijah, but still others Jeremiah, one of the prophets. He said to them, But who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered, You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus says to him, Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. So now I know who Jesus is, and it is Jesus' church, and He's going to build it. It belongs to Him. Three short passages. Master those. Know what they say. Understand them. Write notes about those. You need to study the Bible and use it as a guide for your life. You need to study the Bible and use it as a guide for your life. The best way to do that is to take short passages of Scripture and really learn them. You do need to have a general overview of the Bible. You need to know the Old Testament is made up of Old Testament history, Old Testament poetry, and Old Testament prophecies. You need to know New Testament made up of New Testament history, New Testament letters, and New Testament prophecy. You need to know that kind of a broad overview. You need to have a general idea. But where real Bible study comes is when you study a passage and you really learn that passage. You really know what that passage says. Now, let me give you two warnings, okay? Be careful. Be careful of studying books about the Bible and not the Bible. It's okay to do that occasionally. There are a lot of books about the Bible I like, and they are right, but it's not Bible study. You need to study the Bible. The other one is, if you have a study Bible, and I have six, well, maybe probably no more than that, but anyway, I have a lot of them. The other warning is, the notes at the bottom of your study Bible are not inspired. Okay, they are very, very helpful, but they're not inspired. The Word of God is inspired. The Word of God is never wrong. Those notes at the bottom of your Bible, in a study Bible, may be wrong. It's okay to have them and use them. I use them all the time. But just make sure that I understand the difference in what's God's Word and what's somebody's opinion about what God's Word means. Your Word, I've treasured in my heart that I may not sin against you. Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And when you need God's Word most is in darkness. We live in a dark world, spiritually speaking, right? We need God's Word. When you're going through the valley of the shadow of death, you know what? You know what the valley of the shadow, how dark it is? You need a light. This is the light. And the only way you're going to get it, the only way you're going to get it is to study it. As you study the Bible, you're going to learn about the Bible. You're going to learn a lot of Bible. But you know that's not the real aim. Your aim is not to know the Bible. Guess what your aim is? To know Jesus. To know Jesus. That's the way you get there. But that's not what you're really after. That's just incidental. What you're really after is to know Jesus. To know Jesus means that He's your Savior and your Lord. You've never accepted Him as your Savior. Let's do it today. Let's do it today. To give Him control of your life, to be saved by His blood. To be saved by His blood. You can do that today as we stand.